Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dari. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jayam Vishnupad Paramahansa Parirvraj Jakacharya Stotira Satashri Srimad, His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Grantharaj Sriman Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Gaura Premanandi Samaveda Bhaktivrinda Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Jai Srila Prabhupada. Sri Sri Radha Madhava are always engaged in blissful, loving pastimes in the groves of Vrindavan. Krishna, he is the one who reciprocates love with the gopis, and he is the lifter of Govardhan Hill. He is the son of Mother Yashoda, and he is the attractive darling of all of Raja. He can be always seen playing in the garden groves on the banks of the Yamuna River. Om Gyana Trimarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Nilitanyena Taishmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadadmayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Garau Shri Yutta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Shahadvaitam Shadvahutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagapate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavanishvari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vairagya Yug Bhakti Rasam Prayatnaye Apayayam Mam Anubip Samandam Kripa Budirya Paraduka Duki Sanatanam Tam Prabhu Mashrayami. I was unwilling to drink that nectar of immortality that is known as Bhakti Ras. The taste of love for the lotus feet of the Lord Sri Krishna. I did not want to drink this nectar because I knew this nectar was laced with, it was infused with, it was endowed with a secret ingredient. That ingredient being great material renunciation. So I didn't want to drink it. But my spiritual master, Sanatana Goswami, being an ocean of mercy who is constitutionally unable to look upon the sufferings of others, he forced me, he made me, he induced me to drink it. Therefore, what else can I do? I simply have to offer him my obeisances as my master. Adadanastri namdante. Iram yache puna punaha shrimadrupa padambo jam dulisham jama janmani. Ah, clasping that straw between my teeth, falling down on the ground, begging over and over and over again. The only prayer that is left in my heart is this, and that is, that lifetime after lifetime, I may simply serve the foot dust of Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada. Sadhanai jivane yasya drishto bhavo daya kramaha Raghunatham aham vande dasa Goswami nam prabhu. I offer my homage unto my master, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, by carefully studying his life and his daily practices of the regulative principles of devotional service, one can quickly come to understand the exact scientific sequential process by which one will attain to prayojana, the topmost states of love of Godhead. Gaurave Gaurachandraya Radhikaya Tadalaya Krishnaya Krishna Bhaktaya Tad Bhaktaya Namo Namaha. Time and time and time and time again, I offer my obeisances unto Sri Guru, unto Sri Gaurachandra, unto Srimati Radhika, along with her divine associates and her divine abode, Sri Vrindavandam, unto Lord Sri Krishna, unto the devotees of Lord Sri Krishna, and unto the devotees of the devotees of Lord Sri Krishna. Vanchika Patarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyeva Cha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaura Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So now that the atmosphere has been sufficiently purified by offering our respectful obeisances to the Sambandha Acharya, the Abhideya Acharya, and the Prayojana Acharya, let's turn our attention to the Srimad Bhagavatam and let's see if we can hear a little bit about what it has to tell us. We're on canto 5, chapter I'm sorry, Canto 7, Chapter 5, Text 33 to 35. I just want to say something that before I get it, I start this, that this purport, that this is text 35 is on the board, but the purport is extremely interesting because when I read the purport, I found it, because it goes in a direction that I did not expect. And I think if you listen to the purport, you'll find it to be a very interesting purport, because it tells something about the inner mentality of Hiranyakashipu that is extremely interesting. And I never caught it before, but because I have to give I have to give a class on this verse and purport, I caught it, and it's new information for me, and it may be new information for you. So it's a very interesting purport when we get there. I'll read text 33 and text 34. We'll chant text 35 quickly together, and then we'll go on from there. Text 33. After Prahlad Maharaj had spoken in this way and became silent, Hiranyakashipu, blinded by anger, threw him off his lap and onto the ground. Text 34. Indignant and angry, his reddish eyes like molten copper, Hiranyakashipu said to his servants, "O demons, take this boy away from me. He deserves to be killed. Kill him as soon as possible." Now, who does this to a five-year-old boy? Who does this to a five-year-old boy? We will see why in text 35. And the answer is, partial answer is, he didn't see a five-year-old boy. Hiranyakashipu did not see a five-year-old boy sitting on his lap. He saw something else, something horrible. At least horrible to him. Okay, text 35. Ayam me bratri hasoyam hitvaswan surido damaha pritrivya hantu pada padao yo Vishnu Dasavar Archati. Ayam me bratri hasoyam hitvaswan surido damaha pritrivya hantu padao yao Vishnu Dasavar Archati. Ayam me bratri hasoyam hitvaswan sarado damaha pritrivya hantu padayo Vishnur dasavad archati. Please chant. 80s. I am this. May my Bratriha, killer of the brother, sa he. I am this. Hitva, giving up. Swan, own. Surida, well-wishers. Adama, very low. Pritrivyahantu, of he who killed his uncle, Hiranyaksha. Paudau, at 2 feet. Ya, he who, Vishnu, of Lord Vishnu, Dasavat, like a servant, Archati, serves. Translations and purports by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. This boy, Prahlad, is the killer of my brother, for he has given up his family to engage in the devotional service of the enemy, Lord Vishnu, like a menial servant. Purport. Hiranyakashipu considered his son, Prahlad Maharaj, to be the killer of his brother, because Prahlad Maharaj was engaged in the devotional service of Lord Vishnu. In other words, Prahlad Maharaj would be elevated to Sarupya liberation. And in that sense, he resembled Lord Vishnu. Therefore, Prahlad was to be killed by Hiranyakashipu. Devotees, Vaishnavas, attain the liberations of Sarupya, Shalokya, Sharsti, and Samipya, where the Mayavadis are supposed to attain the liberation known as Sayujya. Sayujya Mukti, however, is not very secure, whereas Sarupya Mukti, Shalokya Mukti, Sharshti Mukti, and Samipya Mukti are most certain. Although the servants of Lord Vishnu Narayan in the Vaikuntha planets are equally situated with the Lord, the devotees there know very well that the Lord is the master, whereas they are the servants. So, in the course of this lecture, this class, I may have to use a word, or it may be possible that I'll use a word that makes a Vaishnava's blood run cold. And that word is oneness. Just like in the English language, there is a word, gay, G-A-Y, gay. Now, it's very hard for people of the younger generation to understand this, but when I was born in 1955, 60, almost 62 years ago, the word gay meant a happy, exuberant man who is lighthearted. It had no other meaning. It had no other connotation. That's what it meant. And that's what it meant through the 1970s. Okay, in the 1970s, it began to change. Matter of fact, if you look at the word gay in a dictionary of the 1930s or the 1940s, you'll see it defined like that. A happy, exuberant man, lighthearted man, like this. This is the definition of the word gay. In the olden days, if you went up to somebody and say, "Hey, you're very gay today. You're very gay today," the man would say, "Oh yeah, that's right. I'm feeling quite good. I'm feeling quite happy." There would be no other thought that would enter into the man's mind. So, therefore, we have this word oneness, a katvam. And among spiritual circles, especially here in India, this word oneness has been co-opted by a certain school of philosophical thought that we call the Mayavadi school of thought. Oneness means giving up one's own personal existence, merging into the Brahma Jyoti or the all-pervading existence of God. That's what oneness means, and it has no other meaning. But no, that's not a fact. There is even duality in oneness, because the Vaishnavas have a different conception of oneness. And it's not the same conception, nor is it the same, nor does it carry the same connotation as the Mayavadis' conception of oneness. Now, the Mayavadi philosophers will immediately look at me and say, "Well, hey, stop there. You're creating duality, man. Don't quite create duality, man. There's only one definition of oneness, and that definition is the one that's given by Sankaracharya, and don't cloud the issue." Well, sorry, my dear Mayavadi philosopher. I respect you very much for your austerities and for your learning. But you do not have sole ownership of oneness. Prashya Shaktir Viva Daiva Shuyate, the Vedas say, that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he has multifarious energies, and they're all divine. Dvavimalpushalake kshara chakshara evasha kshara sarvani bhutani kuto sto kuto sto kuto kuto sto. You got to excuse me, I have a little cold, a summer cold. Kuto sto means they are in oneness. Kuto sho kshara uchite. The infallible living entities in the spiritual world, kuto sto, they are in oneness. Dvavi ma purushala. There are two classes of living entities. There are the fallible. There are two classes of living entities. They are the fallible and the infallible. In the material world, all the living entities are fallible. Why are they fallible? Because they're going from body to body to body to body to body. Endlessly. Ad infinitum, practically. And they are in disagreement with the Lord. So there are two classes of beings, the fallible and the infallible. Why are they infallible? Because they have eternal bodies and they don't change those bodies and they are eternal. And they're full of bliss and knowledge and satchitananda vigraha. Eternity, knowledge, and bliss. So they're infallible. But beyond that, why are they infallible? Because they're not in the disagreement with the Lord. Ichchidvesha samuttena dvanva mohena bharata savabhutani samoham sarga yante purana tapa. All the living entities in the material world, sorry people, I have to give you some bad news. All the living entities in the material world, they're born into illusion. That means us, we're born in illusion. They are bewildered by the duality of desire and hatred. We are born covered. And we come into this world with two major motivations deep inside our being. And that's called, and these two motivations are desire and hate. And Prabhupada explains that the desire is that I want to be the center, I want to be God. And the hatred is I don't like Krishna because he is God. The post is already taken. Sorry. And the post only can be taken by this one being. It's not possible for another being to take it. And there's only one person who has the ability to handle that post. Nityo nityanam chaitanas chaitananam. There's one chief eternal amongst all the other eternals. And there's one supremely conscious living being amongst all the other conscious living beings. Nityo nityanam chaitanas chaitananam eko bahunam yo vidati kaman. And what is this being doing? The eko, the one, the bahunam, the many. The one, he's fulfilling the desires of all the others. And what else is he doing? He's providing them with all the necessities of life. Anybody make the sunrise this morning? Raise your hand. If you are the person who made the sunrise this morning, raise your hand. But it is risen. And we had nothing to do with it. Right now, we're enjoying, here in Mayapur, for those who are on Mayapur TV, we're enjoying very balmy, cool, pleasant monsoon weather. It's very cool after the hot season. Did any of you make the weather? So he's providing us with these things. And we should be aware of it and we should be grateful. So they are in oneness. Kutosta. So there are two classes of beings, the fallible and the infallible, in the material world. All the living entities are fallible. And in the spiritual world, all the living entities are called infallible because they are in oneness. But it's not the oneness that the Mayavadi philosophers and the followers of Sankaracharya insist on and set as their highest goal, Suyujya Mukti, as Prabhupada says in the purport. What kind of oneness is it? Prabhupada explains in the purport to this verse in the 15th chapter that I am quoting. Dvavimalpurusholake. What does this oneness entail? What does it mean? It means that the people in the spiritual world, the pure devotees, they are in agreement with God about the purpose of creation. Prabhupada explains exactly like a father in the olden days. Again, for somebody who's 62, we can remember these days. The father actually ran the family. When I was born, my father ran the family, and my mother was subservient to him. Those days are gone. But in the olden days, when I was born, and my father wasn't a great guy too, but still she was subservient to him. And they had a 62-year marriage because of it. Or not that long, 52 years, I forget. They're both gone and dead now. So Prabhupada says it's exactly like a family. The father, he decides what it is that the family is going to do and how it's going to survive and how it's going to ply its way through this difficult material world. So the father may say, he may make a decision. He'll discuss it with everybody. He's not a tyrant. He'll especially discuss it with his wife because he knows he's got to get her on board. Or else it's going to be very difficult. But eventually he'll make a decision. He'll say, I've decided that the family is going to open up a restaurant. And I want all of you to help and to participate. He'll say to the son, you help, you participate. We're going to run a restaurant. It's always been my dream. I think it's an excellent way for us to survive and to stay together as a family, everybody. And not just me. I'm not just doing it for me. Of course, it's my dream, it's my desire, but also I'm doing it because, you know, so that there'll be opulence in the family. Everybody will benefit. So if the family lines up behind the father, that's called oneness. Because they're all working towards the same goal. They all have the same conception. They're all moving in the same direction. But because they all line up behind the father, you can't say that the son has now become the father and the father has now become the son. They've merged together. No, there's individual existence in transcendence. But there's oneness of purpose, there's oneness of being, there's oneness of agreement. Prabhupada also, just like when a family lines up behind the father and they decide this is where we're going and everybody moves in that direction, then wonderful things can happen. But if the son says, Dad, I'm glad you got this dream of opening up a restaurant, but you know, I always wanted to live in the Bahamas and be a beach bum. Sorry, can't come. And the wife says, "Oh, Dad, sorry. I know you wanted to open up a restaurant, but you expect me to wait on tables? I'm not going to do that." And he sees the whole desire just disintegrating, and then there's divorce. There's a 64% divorce rate, and I'll just, as a little aside, sorry, I don't want to go here. I want to go in a direction, another direction, but I'll just say it. There's a 64% divorce rate in the United States of America, and they're trying to figure out why. And when there's divorce, the wife gets the house, the wife gets the money, the wife gets control over the children, and the only thing the husband gets is child support payments. And they're wondering, why is there a 64% divorce rate in America? Enough said. Everybody got it? So let's leave that behind and go in another direction. So, so the Mayavadis, they do not own the conception of oneness. There is this conception of oneness. And Pahlad, he is one with God in this conception of oneness. So when it's described here, when he spoke the Vaishnava philosophy to his father, the philosophy he learned, oh yeah, that's another thing I wanted to say. Thank you. Thank you, Super Soul. I forget. So when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was in Jagannath Puri, he used to go see Gadadhar Pandit almost daily. And Gadadhar Pandit was situated near Chakrapavart, Govardhan Hill in Jagannath Puri. It's a big sand dune. It's still there in Jagannath Puri. You can go there, you can see it. That is Govardhan Hill. Vrindavan is in Jagannath Puri. It's just a little hidden and covered, but it's there. Govardhan Hill is Chakraparvat. The Gopinath Temple is the Vrindavan Forest, and I forget the name of the river, but there's a river that flows on the outskirts of Jagannath Puri, and that's the Yamuna River. It's in Jagannath Puri. Vrindavan is inside Jagannath Puri. It's simultaneously there and not there. And that's why Lord Chaitanya went to Jagannath Puri to experience Vipalambabhav. Srimati Radhika refuses to live in any place where there's not the Yamuna River, where the Vrindavan forest is not manifested, and where Govardhan Hill is not manifested. She will not reside in a place where these three things are not manifested. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the combined form of Radha and Krishna. Radharani will not live where these three things are not manifested. So they're there. So those three things are there in Jagannath Puri. And therefore, Lord Chaitanya, who is the combined form of Radha and Krishna, he was able to live there. Radharani was satisfied there. So he used to go daily to see Gadadhar Pandit. Now notice that Lord Chaitanya went to see Gadadhar Pandit. It's not that Gadadhar Pandit went to see Lord Chaitanya. Is there any history of Lord Chaitanya, of Gadadhar Pandit going to the Gambira in the middle of night and associating with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? No. Who was there with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the middle of the night in the Gambira? It was Ramananda Roy and it was Sarup Damodar, Who is Ramananda Roy and who is Swarup Damodar? Ramananda Roy is a combination of Arjuna and Vishakha. And Swarup Damodar is a Lalita Sakhi. Vishakha and Lalita Sakhi are those two gopis that help Srimati Radhika when she's in experiencing Vipralamba Bhav. When she's experiencing profound, intense separation from Lord Krishna, it is Vishakha and Lalita who tend to Srimati Radhika, and it's their manjaris who tend to Srimati Radhika. So Gadadhar Pandit never shows up in the Gambira in the middle of the night. Why? Why? Who is Gadadhar Pandit? Who is he? Yes. He's Radharani, but he's not exactly Radharani. Okay, he's exactly Radharani, but not quite exactly Radharani. Gadadhar Pandit, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the divine form of Radha and Krishna. He has stolen. Krishna is a thief. He's a butter thief. He's makhan chor. He's a thief. Why does he steal butter? Why does Krishna steal butter? Why butter? He could be stealing other things. Huh? Can somebody repeat that? Yes. The butter represents the hearts of those people who love Krishna and Vrindavan Leela. Their hearts are soft and pliable like butter. So it represents the hearts of the gopis. There's meaning behind his stealing butter. It's not that he just likes to taste the butter. Okay, it may also be that. Krishna, he's the consummate thief because he steals the complexion and he conceals the bhava or the inner heart, the inner emotion of Srimati Radhika. The bhava, Lord Chaitanya is the combined form of Radha and Krishna. He steals her complexion, her suvarna, her complexion, and he steals her inner emotions. And he wants to experience or taste those emotions to the highest ecstasy. And so when you steal Radharani's complexion and the inner emotion of Srimati Radhika, what do you have left? You have Radharani's duty. You have Radharani's effulgence. When you steal these other items, what's left is Radharani's effulgence. And so, Gadadhar Pandit, is an incarnation of Srimati Radhika's effulgence. This is how Radhika manifests herself in Lord Krishna's Leela. It's a thankless task for Radharani to become Gadadhar Pandit is a thankless task. She has to give up so much of herself. So, Gadadhar Pandit is a representative of the utmost extension of Radha Bhava in one way, because Radharani had to give up so much of herself so that Krishna could experience her ecstasies. And therefore, Lord Chaitanya went to Gadadhar Pandit. Why did he go to Gadadhar Pandit? He went to Gadadhar Pandit to hear Bhagavatam. Now, this is... So, Gadadhar Pandit is Lord Chaitanya's Bhagavatam teacher. And why Gadadhar Pandit? Why not Advaita Acharya? Such a learned scholar. Because Radharani is Lord Krishna's teacher in all matter of ras. She is the instructor of Lord Krishna in all matters of ras, in all matters of love. But she didn't come to the Gambir. I mean, he, Gadadhar Pandit, didn't come to the Gambira in the middle of the night. Because, why? Because it would obstruct Lord Chaitanya experiencing the highest bhava of Vipralamba Bhav. Because even having that much of Lord of Radharani in his physical presence would create a rasabhas. You understand? Just like Lord Nityananda. There's no history of Lord Nityananda coming into the Gambira. Matter of fact, Lord Chaitanya, he instructed, Lord, I'm going in a completely different direction than I planned to go. I might as well just rip up my notes. Sorry. So Lord Nityananda didn't come to the Gambira. Why doesn't he come to the Gambira? Why doesn't Lord Nitya, whenever in Krishna Leela, whenever Lord Krishna is going to enjoy or experience or partake in any kind of loving conjugal ras, Lord Balaram makes himself absent. He leaves the scene. Okay. Oh, when it comes time to enjoy Sakya Ras, Lord Balaram is there, don't worry. And he enjoys immense, but when it comes time for Krishna to enjoy conjugal ras, he makes himself absent. But he does make himself absent, but then in another way, he doesn't make himself absent. How doesn't he make himself absent? Anybody know? Yes, very nice. He expands himself as an Anga Manjari. Now notice he expands himself as a Manjari. He doesn't expand himself as a Gopi. Do the Manjaris have physical contact with Lord Krishna? In conjugal ras? Yes or no? No way. They are always assistants to the conjugal Ras. They're there. They're experiencing the conjugal Ras in ways that are even superior than what the gopis are experiencing. Their bliss is higher than the gopis. Please don't tell the gopis that. Shh. Keep it quiet. How is their bliss higher than the gopis? Who knows the mystery to this? How can it be? The gopis are being directly embraced by the Lord. They're being kissed by the Lord. They're dancing with the Lord. They're exchanging sidelong. Cannot be any higher bliss than this. It says in the Srimad Bhagavatam that the gopis are the highest, but then the manjaris are experiencing a higher bliss. What is the great mystery behind this? It's very easily explained. Okay, I'm out of time. I would love to explain it to you. I'm out of time. I'll give you just the outline. Krishna is the root of existence. He's the root of everyone else. When you pour water on the root of the tree, that enjoyment of experiencing water that is spread everywhere throughout the whole tree. Krishna is like the stomach. When you give food to the stomach, what happens is the stomach, it spreads the food everywhere. If the hand tries to enjoy food separately from the stomach, heck with the stomach, why am I serving the stomach? I'm going to enjoy this food myself. And the hand takes the food and it feels it and it, utterly absurd. That's how our enjoyment is like in this material world. It's utterly absurd because we're disconnected from the root of enjoyment. What is the possibility of us enjoying? Zero. Because we're disconnected from that object that makes us enjoy. You understand? There is no possibility of enjoying, of feeling or experiencing. What it is that we really need to experience. And not superficially in the external outside jagat of this material world, but what we really need to experience in the innermost core of our being. Why the endless emptiness inside our hearts? Never mind about sense enjoyment. It's useless and we know it and we've been through there and we've done it. But still we fall for it again and again and again. We think, okay, through the senses I will enjoy, through the senses. No, but it doesn't satisfy that thing in there, because we're disconnected from the source of enjoyment. So if the hand tries to enjoy the food, eventually it'll just get weaker. And I'm not going to give it to the stomach. No way am I going to become a servant in oneness of God like Prahlad Maharaj. I'm going to enjoy it all for myself. This is Hiranyakashipu. Prahlad Maharaj is the servant in oneness of God. And when he looks on his lap, he does not see his son. He sees his enemy, Lord Vishnu. And therefore, he has the power Don't think that Pilate, that Hiranyakashipu is just an uncontrolled demon. Crazy demon. Oh, no wonder why he threw the boy off his lap. Oh, he's just out of control. Yes, it's true. At this particular time in his life, Hiranyakashipu is out of control. But don't think he's out of control. Don't think he's a man who cannot control his senses, who does not control, know how to control his senses. He is certified by Lord Brahma, the head of our Sampradaya, just in case you want to know. He's certified by Lord Brahma as the greatest yogi who ever lived. He's certified by the head of our Sampradaya. Never will there ever be somebody who has been as austere as you. There has never been anybody in the past who has been as austere as you. Right now at this moment, there is nobody who is as austere as you. And in the future, no one will ever be as austere as you. So don't think he threw Pilate off of his lap. That is the easy explanation. Oh, don't think here in the purport we hear the inner explanation, okay, if you pay attention. He threw Pilate off of his lap not because he's an uncontrolled demon, not because he's crazy or he has also those things at this point in his life. He's lost it. But still, he can control his senses. But he threw Pilate off his lap because when Pilate spoke those verses to Hiranyakashipu, he became silent. In this way, he became silent. And so that means there was a moment of reflection. And Hiranyakashipu, he looked down at his son. Little boy sitting on his lap. Who could hurt? They're natural objects of affection in human society. Who could hurt such a charming little boy? So he looked down at his son, and what did he see? Did he see Pilate? No, he saw his enemy, Lord Vishnu. Because Pilate was in oneness with Vishnu, Vaishnava oneness. And he came to the realization, something extraordinary. He had an epiphany. Something extraordinary was being dictated into his heart. He had a realization, an epiphany, a satori. And he went, "Ah, my enemy. I had my own enemy on my lap. Kill him before he becomes more powerful." Okay. We'll stop there. Sorry I went in directions I didn't expect to go. Please forgive me. Hare Krishna. It's now 1 minute after nine. Class is officially over. If anybody wants to leave, they can leave. Please feel free, clear on out. And if anybody wants to ask one or two questions, then we'll entertain a question. Okay, Hare Krishna, thank you very much. Hari Bol. Yes, there's two Gadadhar. There's Gadadhar Pandit and there's another Gadadhar. So there's these two Gadadhar, and one is considered the other Gadadhar Pandit is often described as being the also an incarnation of the duty of Srimati Radhika. But some Vaishnavas also describe the Gadadhar Pandit of the Pancha Tattva also in this way too. They're both explained in this way. The easy thing is, the easy explanation is that Gadadhar Pandit is a is the incarnation or the is a manifestation of the internal potency of the Lord. The internal potency of the Lord is Srimati Radhika, so Gadadhar Pandit is Srimati Radhika. But it's a little bit more complex like than that. Okay. Okay, go ahead. Oh, by the way, I just want to say I got a little bit of a summer cold and my ears are stuffed up. So go ahead.
Thank you, Prabhu.
The what? Speak it into my ear. I'm sorry, I've got a cold and my ears are stuffed up.
Before the lecture, I was thinking about the rasas, mellows, M-E-L-L-O-W-S.
Oh, mellows, rasas, okay, yeah. Okay, go ahead.
I read in the purpose by Srila Prabhupada, there are 5 primary and 7 secondary rasas.
Yes. So you're thinking there's many more rasas than the 5 primary rasas and the 7 secondary rasas. All right. The only thing I can say is that Rupa Goswami says there's 5 primary rasas, there's 7 secondary rasas, and every emotion that's experienced in the spiritual world between Krishna and the gopis and between Krishna and the other residents of Vrindavan, and even all the way down into the Vaikuntha planets and like that, they're all can be included, or they all can be included in within these 5 primaries and these 7 secondaries. Now there's combinations of rasas. Okay, so there's, for example, there's a combination of ghastly ras and conjugal ras. Okay, now these two rasas are considered not compatible. Ghastly ras and conjugal ras, but Rukmini speaks a verse to Lord Krishna in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and this is the example of ghastly ras in conjugal love. Okay, the verse is Twak Shmasha Roma Nakakesha Pinadam Antar Ma Shasti Rakta Krimi Vit Kafa Pita Vatram Jivachavam Vimuda, Kanta Vidir Vimuda, Ye Te Pradabja Makaran Ajigrati Stri. So this is the example given by Rupa Goswami of ghastly ras combined with conjugal ras. So Rukmini is praying to Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna wanted to see a little anger from Lord Rukmini, and so he tried to invoke that anger, and then he got a different reaction from Rukmini than he was looking for and he expected. Rukmini is extremely submissive to Lord Krishna. And it's described that Chandravali, who is submissive to Lord Krishna in Krishna Leela, becomes Rukmini. When she expands herself, she becomes Rukmini, and Radharani becomes Satyabhama, the second queen of Lord Krishna, who's in a very fiery mood, left-wing mood. So when Rukmini understood that Krishna wanted to see some fire from her in their married relationship, so she prayed to him and gave, and submissively gave him some fire. So then she recites this verse, and this is the example of ghastly ras in conjugal love. Oh my lord, a woman who fails to relish the fragrance of the honey-like aroma of your lotus feet, she becomes doomed to become completely bewildered and befooled. And thus she accepts a walking, living corpse as her lover and or her husband that is covered on the outside by skin, whiskers, bodily hair, head hair, and filled on the inside with bone, blood, pus, mucus, parasite-laden stool, and foul-smelling airs. She's in conjugal love with Krishna, and she's trying to please Krishna, and so this is ghastly ras combined with conjugal ras. She brings up this ghastly subject matter. It's all ghastly stuff. So you say there's only the five primary rasas, and then there's the seven primary rasas. There must be more of the rasas than that. Well, yeah, there's millions of more rasas than that. There's conjugal ras mixed with sakya ras mixed with a tinge of madhurya ras. Those are the priya namasakis. They're Krishna's intimate cowherd friends, not the Priyanama Shakis, I'm sorry, the Priyanama Sakas. They're Krishna's intimate friends, but they help him or they assist him in conjugal relationships with the gopis. They assist him so that the conjugal relationships will be successful. Madhavendra Puri is considered the root, the foundational root of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, but it's described in the Shastra that one of the forms of Madhavendra Puri in the spiritual world is as a kalpavriksha tree. Kalpavriksha trees are supposed to be in Shanta Ras. So there's a mixture of Madhurya Ras and Shanta Ras in this Kalpavriksha tree. And it's a Kalpavriksha tree that Krishna and Radharani regularly go to enjoy conjugal affairs. So when Krishna and Radharani are enjoying the most intimate conjugal affairs, almost everybody is asked to leave. But Madhavendra Puri, he's able to remain in the form of a kalpavriksha tree. So it's not just like there's, so he's a kalpavriksha tree, Shantarash, mixed with Madhurya Ras. The cows in Vrindavan are all in Shantarash mixed with Vatsalya Ras. Okay, you got it? The flute in Vrindavan Leela is in Shantaras is male, and it's tinged with conjugal ras. It's male, and the gopis protest. How is this flute? It's male. And how is it enjoying the nectar of Krishna's lips? And it's used primarily, it's used all the time in many ways, but one of the way, a certain flute, not all the flutes, but there's a certain flute of Lord Krishna. I forget which one it is. I think it's the Murali. There's the Vamsi, there's the Murali, there's... Krishna has more than one flute. So there's a certain flute, I forget which one it is, what its name is. But it's used specifically by Lord Krishna when he wants to call the gopis for conjugal ras. And he touches it with his lips. So it's in conjugal ras. It's male. And it's in shantaras. Da? Are you getting an idea of how intricately the web is weaved? I'll tell you a story. Sorry, I'm really going over time now, but some people are hanging in there, so I'll just tell the story. When Tamal Krishna Maharaj passed away, Giriraj Maharaj, who had a lot of association with Tamal Krishna Maharaj during Prabhupada's manifested leelas. So, but when Tamal Krishna Maharaj passed away, Giriraj Maharaj was having some kind of fight with Tamal Krishna Maharaj. They were at odds with each other. I don't know the reason. But they were at odds with each other. And then when he passed away, Giriraj Maharaj was, this is a story told by Giriraj Maharaj, was feeling really bad. You know, he passed away and we had this conflict with each other. And before we could resolve it and we could have our regular loving God-brotherly relationship, he passed away, and he was worrying about it, worrying about it, and worrying about it, worrying about it. And so finally, he tells the story that he was asleep one night, and he had a restless night, but finally he fell asleep, and at the end of the night, he fell asleep, and he passed away, and Tamal Krishna Maharaj appeared in his dream, dressed like a sannyasi, looking exactly like Tamal Krishna Maharaj, carrying a danda, and he appeared in Giriraj Maharaj's dream. And he said to Giriraj Maharaj, he said, "Don't worry about our little conflict with each other. Don't worry. There's no reason why you should have this being upsetting your heart." So Giri, in his dream, Giriraj Maharaj, he felt a great deal of relief. And then, Tamal Krishna Maharaj started walking away in his dream, and he was leaving. And then Giriraj Maharaj, in his dream, because remember, Tamal Krishna Maharaj had already passed away, he called after Giriraj Maharaj. He called after Tamal Krishna Maharaj. He said, "Tamal Krishna Maharaj, where are you now?" He said that to Tamal Krishna, to Giriraj. He said that. He called after Tamal Krishna Maharaj in his dream. And in his dream, according to Giriraj Maharaj, Tamal Krishna Maharaj turned back and looked at him and smiled a very beatific smile. And he said, it's a lot different than it says in the books. And then disappeared out of his dream. Hey, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, where are you now? It's a lot different than they say in the books. Okay? Not that the books are wrong. Does Krishna play a flute? Now I got a question for you. Does the flute play Krishna? Okay, when you figure that out, we'll have a further discussion. Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, they know everything about music. There is nothing that is unknown about music to Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. They created the propensity in this material world, which is known as musicianship. They created the scales. They created the sound vibration that moves through the ether. They created the nice combinations of sound and the dissonant combination of sounds. They created what sounds good to the human ear and what sounds bad. When they hear Lord Krishna's flute, they have no idea what the hell is going on. Think about it. Think deeply about what you read in the Shastra. They can't figure out the musical arrangement. When they hear Lord Krishna's flute, they can't figure out the musical arrangement of the sound vibration. It is a sound vibration, but they can't figure out what it, how can they not figure it out? Are they stupid? They don't know anything about music? Why can't they grasp it? Oh, well, this is the C scale. Oh, I see, he's moving up a fifth. He's moving down a major third. Oh, look it, he's going up a dissonant seventh. If you know anything about music, you'll understand what I'm talking about. If you don't, that's okay. But these are terms in music. Okay? But they can't figure it out. What the hell is going on? And the closest they come is the Gayatri Mantra, specifically the Kama Gayatri Mantra. This is what Lord Krishna's flute sounds like. Klim Kamaya Vidmahe. Anyway, I'm not going to say the, it's forbidden. Even though it's published. That's what it sounds. It sounds something like the Kama Gayatri Mantra. And why? Because the musical instruments in the spiritual world are not dead matter. They're alive beings. Okay? All right. Never mind the rasas that's going on between everyone. Between the flute and Krishna. Sometimes, okay, on and on. Okay? So yes, there's more than five rasas. Yes, there's more than seven secondary rasas. Okay? It's unimaginable to your tiny brain. You will not be able to grasp it. I cannot grasp it. I know all about a flute that you can play. I don't know about a flute that plays back. My spiritual master, one time I had the great, made the great mistake. God, I'm so bad boy. But last thing, this is the last thing I'm going to say. One time I made the mistake of saying to my spiritual master, I've read the Shastras. I understand what it says. I'm not a dummy. I can read it and understand what it says. I said this to His Holiness Ravindasarup Prabhu, my Gayatri Guru, His Grace Ravindasarup Prabhu. So I said, you know, it's very easy. I read it all the time. I can understand it. I got a really good intellect. I can understand what it says. And you know what he said to me? He looked at me and he said, Giranagri Das, when you get to the spiritual world, you're going to be very surprised what a flute is. Okay? Okay, Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Sorry to take up so much time.